Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
A very special welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're happy that you're here. And we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. The truth is, if you came into church today and it looked a little messy, it looked like there's some stuff lying around that usually is not, like the chapel was filled with sleeping bags and all kinds of other bags and things, and maybe there's some candy wrappers or soda cans around, it's because we've got 90 kids here from throughout the diocese doing their new beginnings. And I was surprised when I came into church this morning how clean the place looked, because you should have seen it yesterday. It was upside down. And actually, we've got this beautiful thing they prepared here for the front of the altar. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3. And it says, God loves you. And it's a reminder that the kids are here. There's about 90 of them from throughout the diocese. So we just have to be patient this weekend. There was a very devout Jewish family that were making their spiritual pilgrimage to Israel, and they were in Jerusalem. They were really having a great time. But grandma, who was very elderly, fell ill, and they took her to the hospital, but they could do nothing for her, and she died. Now, the daughter was very distraught over the death of her mother, and rightly so, and really couldn't clear her mind to make any kind of arrangements, and so the husband went to make the arrangements. And he went over to the funeral home there in Jerusalem and sought out the best funeral director, and he too was a very devout Jewish man, and he proceeded to make arrangements. And so as the gentleman began to try to explain to the funeral director that he needed to take his mother-in-law back to the States to have a funeral here, the funeral director said, listen, I gotta tell you, from a business perspective, you're making a big mistake. It's very costly to transport the body from here, from Israel, all the way back to the States to have that kind of funeral. As a devout Jewish family, you should just bury her here. And the gentleman went on to insist and scratch his head as he was trying to explain to the funeral director, no, I really need to take her back to the States. You know, my mother-in-law needs to be buried in the States. And the funeral director still didn't understand. Why do you want to take her back? Look, we have lots of beautiful holy ground here to bury your mom, right here in Israel, in the land that God gave to the Jews. Why would you take her back? He says, well, I got to tell you. Some Christians say that 2,000 years ago, they buried someone here, and on the third day, he rose again. And with my mother-in-law, I can't take any chances. And you know, when you hear in the gospel, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and Jesus is saying this kind of speech to his own people, it's really very moving. Because he's speaking about the place where he was to begin his saving mission, and the exhortation that comes out of Jesus' heart, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, is really a call to his own people. And he goes on to say, you kill your own prophets, you don't pay attention to the people who've come. And if you look at the history of salvation, if you look at the entire scripture, it is so true that prophets and prophets and more prophets came and were messengers of God, and the people did not listen. And so that's what Jesus is expressing as he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now, the gospel begins with something very interesting. I don't know if you noticed, but he calls Herod something. He calls him the name of an animal. What animal is that? He calls him a fox. Now, usually when we think of a fox, we think of an animal that destroys, that devours, right? One that scares, at least, and scatters. And it begins with that image of Herod being this fox, this person who is destroying, if you will, or wanting to destroy the mission that God is trying to fulfill. But then there's another animal in the gospel. Did you pay attention to that? When he's saying this exhortation about Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says, how I wish to be that hen, a hen that gathers her brood under her wings. So you've got the fox at the beginning, who came to destroy and scatter, and you've got the hen at the end, who came to gather and protect. It's almost like two opposites. It's almost like the tension between good and evil. And if you look at the imagery, what the biblical passage is trying to tell us is, number one, are we able to listen to God and to be embraced by God's grace? Do we see ourselves as being under the protection of God and being cared for by a good God? Because just as the prophets were sent to the people of Israel over and over again, and just as they did not listen, and just as Herod was called a fox for not being able to perceive who was among those people of Israel, the people that were trying to listen for centuries to the voice of God. And just as he's trying to destroy the ultimate messenger, the Word made flesh, the Messiah from God, then we have this image, just as powerful, about the hen that gathers. We live in this tension between good and evil, but we're called to what is good. We're called to receive God's grace. We're called to listen to God. And sometimes we forget that unless we respond to the message of God and respond to God's grace, it's really impossible to live under that embrace, because there are so many things pulling us away, calling us in different directions. There are so many things that don't really allow us to be embraced by that good God. And here comes the hen. Jesus speaks of the hen that gathers the brood. It is the Lord Jesus that brings us together. It's the Lord Jesus that gathers us, Lent after Lent after Lent, year after year after year. It's the Lord Jesus who's calling us always to be mindful of the fact that there's a lot inside of us that needs changing, and there's a lot inside of us that needs to be better. The good news is that it is by God's grace and not by any of our single actions that that happens. And so the Lord is bringing us together like that hen, and loving us, and protecting us, and caring for us. There are so many things that are symbolic in Scripture. The Good Shepherd who, they hear my voice and they follow me. We have this image of the hen today. We have the image in the Psalms of how the Lord will protect us as if under eagle's wings. You ever seen an eagle soaring through the sky? It seems like those wings could go on forever, right? And that's the image of the loving God, the God that cares for us and protects us. We're under that care. We must embrace that love. And we must see it as the God who wants us to be well. The God who wants us to be well. The truth is, as the people of God, we have not just been given, as we read in the first lesson, a land from this river to that river. As God's people, we have been given this entire world. And just as we are cared for God, We are called to care for each other. As we are cared for and protected, we must try to protect each other, especially the vulnerable. You know, I was looking at our kids yesterday, all these kids from all these different parishes, they were playing out on the front lawn. And I was watching them going back and forth and listening to them as they talked. And I don't know how much time you spend listening to teenagers. I know as a younger priest, I spend a lot more time listening than I do now. But as I was listening to them yesterday, I was thinking to myself, wow, I can't even imagine the challenges that these young people, these kids, experience each day in the society we're living in. You know, where mentioning God in a public school can be a problem, right? And all these different things we see in our society that obviously are not of God. And I was looking at them, and they're all here on this spiritual retreat, you know, for a weekend, listening to things about Jesus, doing little role plays of different biblical verses. And I was thinking, you know, isn't it amazing how even in the midst of all of our craziness of this world, that there are still so many young people willing to listen. And then I was thinking about us as adults, and I was watching all those cars drive by, you know, daily, hundreds if not thousands of cars drive in front of our church every day, and I think, how many people never step foot in a church? Or never really think of spiritual things too much? Even if they don't come to church, some people believe they live a spiritual life, and that's great. But I wonder how many of us are really open to God's embrace. How many of us allow that embrace to take a hold of our lives, and in turn then we embrace each other. So today, we have a special guest, and his name is Robin Martin. And he's the executive director of Hope. It's our mission of the month, and I'm going to invite him to share a few words with you, because our own parish, our own community of St. Benedict's has been very involved in this ministry, and so I want him to talk a little bit more about it. And Robin, I don't do this too often, but the pulpit is yours.
Thank you so much for giving me this moment just to share. I have to tell you, and I have to be honest, that there are many, many churches that I'm allowed to come and speak, and in each one it's a unique situation. Sometimes I've given a minute at the beginning, sometimes a minute at the end. Sometimes I'm surprisingly offered a minute right in the middle to follow such a moving and stirring message. I came with the normal stuff. How wonderful Hope South Florida is, how wonderful church partners like you are. But I was moved by sitting and listening to you. The image that you brought to mind today. You know, I felt the stir in my heart when you said that the prophets, that God had cried out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And I felt this movement in my spirit say that God is calling out to us today, that Jesus is calling out to our community today. Christians, Christians, Christians. Are you hearing the voice of the vulnerable that are all around us? Are you the hen to those who are in need? And I think in our community we are. I have the privilege, we as Hope South Florida, celebrating 20 years, has the privilege of working with over 50 churches. And I know for a fact, not just this weekend, but this past few weeks, as you hosted families, as you hosted single mothers that were facing the streets of Broward County, and instead they found a welcoming church. I'm inspired, I am moved by churches like yours who faithfully, every single year, open your doors. For in some little way, you hear that cry. You hear the call. And in this case, to be the hen, to pull together. As I thought of why a hen would do such a thing, I thought of the idea that foxes prey on the weak. It is the hen, the little babies that don't come in under the protection that get eaten and taken away. And that there are those all around us who need us. And this morning you were reminded, I was reminded of our role in this community to be loving wings. Every single night there are over 100 families in crisis in Broward County. Some of them in their cars. Some of them bouncing from bed to bed, from couch to couch. Some of them fleeing domestic violence. There are also men and women who are living on the streets who are looking for love and support. And we provide food almost every single day with churches like you partnering. And that's something that you can do. You can look at and pray about how you can be a part of this movement of churches providing food for the homeless. But I'm here to thank you. To thank you that you are one of the churches that open your doors faithfully, that say to the weary and the least of these, come. And I thank you so much for that. I thank you for choosing us for a whole month to pray and to give and to seek how God might be using you individually as well as you collectively. I asked how long I had because I knew I would be inspired this morning. Thank you so much for all that you do for those in need. Thank you for opening your doors to 90 teenagers. Most churches won't. Thank you.
We'd open the doors to 1,000 teenagers if we can get them in here. Let's all stand and profess our faith together. It's the faith that comes to us from the apostles.